Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature. A little after 5:20, Les East, who covers the Saints for Crescent City Sports, will join us to talk about the cuts, possible moves down the line. Got a couple people that have been hanging on for a while. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. So because of this format where we go back to the draft order.
Correct.
And we pick 14th, I think, you know, it would have been worth it to me. I want you guys' opinion on this because I know Lewis Cine was available. This kid runs a 4. We talked about him before the draft, I remember, Mike.
Yeah,
He'd have been the second fastest corner, not safety, corner on the team. He's a strong safety, but fast enough to play free safety. I don't know why they let him go, but he'd have been worth the pick. I don't understand. You know, I don't think we'll be able to get him now because we pick 14th. But you know, he'd have been number one on my list. As a matter of fact, I think I like his stock better than even the guy that went to Atlanta because he's only 25.
The only thing is with him, man. James, you know, with a first-round pick, they gave him every opportunity. He just didn't make enough plays. And I know he battled some injuries in Minnesota, but they gave him every opportunity. It just didn't work. And sometimes it happens with early-round picks. And I think the Vikings were, you know what, we've seen enough. He's not going to make it here. We just sort of cut him loose, and somebody else can deal with it. Because you're not always going to be 100%. You're not even going to be 70% or 60%. You're just hoping that, you know, you get more good picks than bad. But with him, he was talented. And what I didn't see, James, at the pro level, his ability to cover one-on-one downfield. And he did that really well at Georgia. But, man, I didn't see that with the Vikings at all. He got beat a lot in one-on-one situations.
So that's the other thing, because it was Georgia, you know, so many NFL players on the team, it covered up a lot of his mistakes, perhaps. But the other guys I was looking at was P. Ryan. I mean, listen,
from the Broncos
yesterday. Yeah, he's a third down back. In other words, if you know, our offensive line is what it is right now, he's a hell of a blocking back. And he can catch the pass. I mean, I would love to see him on the team. He would add some physicality. And the other guy would be Deontay Foreman. Is it Foreman? I don't know if it's Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, Deontay Foreman.
Yeah. He's a physical back. I mean, none of these guys that we have now break tackles. I know we paid Williams $4 million, so I can see why we're not letting him go. But other than that $4 million, that I don't see a reason why we should keep him.
Okay, with P. Ryan, I think he still has some gas left in the football tank.
He's also not that old, Mike.
No.
He's 28. I thought he was upwards of
30. No. I knew he came out early, so I knew he was in his late 20s.
He's just been in the NFL for a while.
But he's been in the NFL. Now, he catches the ball well coming out the backfield, and James is right about that. Man, he's a really good receiver, and I think Sean was looking to go a little bit younger at the running back position there, and they tried to shop him. You know, in the league to see if somebody would bite. No one did. But you know who made the best of it? And James brought it up about maybe giving up a late-round pick. Look what the Chiefs did. They made two deals over the last 24 hours, one for a tight end with the Cowboys, and then they got Cameron Thomas, the pass rush guy, who he's kind of a hybrid outside linebacker, defensive end, from the Arizona Cardinals. Because, okay, picking where they're going to pick if you get waived, look, where you're gonna? You're never gonna get to 32nd. So they gave up late round picks to pick up the tight end from the Cowboys and also Cameron Thomas. P. Ryan's a guy that can still play in this league. Deontay Foreman, if he's in shape and his weight is down, man, he's a big power back. He's never been a great receiver, but he's a big power north-south runner.
Yeah, so a couple of things real quick as well. A move that kind of flew under the radar a little bit, Mike, too. The Rams sending linebacker Ernest Jones to the Tennessee Titans.
That's a steal. Now, again,
that's a steal for the Titans because they only gave up a 2026 sixth-round pick, and they also got a 2025 fifth-round pick.
The only thing with that is you don't have him under contract for next year. So maybe Rams got a deal in place for him. Remember, Ernest Jones wanted a new deal with the Rams, could not get it done.
Like, he's a stud.
He's a big-time player for him. He played a big part in their defense resurgence last year. They could not come up with a deal, and I think they said, enough's enough. We're not going to keep him around. But they didn't get nothing for him.
So, my bad. I had it the opposite way around.
Yeah,
the Rams
flipped.
Traded Ernest Jones in a 2026 sixth-round pick to the Titans in exchange for a 2026 fifth-round pick. So, still, I mean, you're sending a fifth-round pick, you're getting a sixth in the return, and you're getting Ernest Jones, which, as you mentioned, Mike, they have to have a deal in place for him. That's, like, really the only way it makes sense. But that's a sneaky, sneaky addition for the Tennessee Titans.
And they need it.
No, absolutely, 100%.
They need it. Now they get some help along the offensive line. Like the Saints, they'd really be in good shape. Thanks so much for the call, James. We appreciate it. Let's go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line. Let's go to Bottom Man. Bottom Man, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
How y'all doing, fellas? Mr. Mike Dettelier, I wanted to tell you, be careful. We have Mason Tipton on our team, and Mason going to be out for the season over with. Mason going to be that diamond in the rough like Shahid was when I first met Chris Olave. I met them kids. I met Alante. You can feel the spirit by the spirit. We going to win that Super Bowl, man. Our gumbo fight is getting stirred up, dude.
Man, Bottle Man, I'll be honest with you. And I'll watch Mason when, you know, because he was a guy I thought might get picked in the draft coming out of Yale. I don't know who worked with him in the offseason. He has become a much better route runner. And, you know, it's because of the quarterback issue at Yale. You didn't see that maybe explosiveness. You knew he was fast, but you didn't know how fast. And, man, before he had the hamstring issues, he was the talk. Every day in camp,
yep.
He made a play or two that we talked about here. If it was with Mike, if it was with Deuce, if it was with Jeff, we talked about it. And Rashid, we didn't see that because guess what? He wasn't practicing. With Mason, at least we got to see him in the OTAs a little bit. He is a sneaky, fast guy, but he'd have to answer that. Who he worked with in the offseason, he's become a much better route runner. Because, okay, at Yale, you probably got three or four routes that you're running. You're not running a big array of a route tree. He got much better coming into and out of his cuts and breaks than what I saw when he was in college.
He was the pleasant surprise. That was the word that kept coming up when it came to Mason Tipton. And so with the injury, you were kind of concerned if he would end up making the roster, but the statement early on was apparently that big that the Saints felt comfortable saying, okay, yeah, this guy is going to be the sixth guy on the roster. And I mean, obviously, Mike, if you're looking at the wide receiver room and you're carrying six right now, and we mentioned those top four guys were basically locks, right?
To me, Bub Means was the biggest surprise.
Bub Means and Mason Tipton were the guys that slid in at the five and six spots. And yeah, I kind of agree with you because Bub also had injury issues throughout.
Bub struggled with injuries.
But they did the same thing with Jalen Ford, the linebacker, the rookie draft pick that had injury issues out of Texas throughout the preseason process. They kept both of them. So obviously they're still high on both of their picks. They want to keep both of them in-house.
Now let's see if they stay on the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, as of now, Mike, do you have Tipton above Means then in that wide receiver depth chart?
Okay. Oh, I didn't go to California, but what I saw in the OTAs, Tipton was – he looked a lot smoother, a lot better. Now, what I thought with Bub had the connection with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, running with kind of the third team units in the OTAs, there was a connection between the two of them that really hit. And so – but Tipton, every day we heard it out from California, how good he looked. And, you know, the buzz was, man, we got something here. We got something here. So let's see. Hopefully he can stay healthy, show out on the field. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking for somebody else to return kickoffs other than Rashid, that it maybe is Mason Tipton. Man, you get that guy out in the open
space. Need multiple return guys with the new kickoff rules,
yeah,
Mike.
Right. So, yeah. And so, man, he can haul tail. He got some speed with him. Thanks so much for the call, Bottom Man. Always appreciate it, bud. We come back, we'll have with us Les East, who covers the Saints for Crescent City Sports, talking about the cuts today and also possible moves down the line right after this break on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Test line, he writes for Crescent City Sports. Les East, longtime writer, covers the NFL, college football prep scene. Les, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be with you.
Les, Charlie and I were talking about a bunch of different things with the cuts. One of the things that sort of sticks out to me is that what happens now? I think they got to make another maneuver, because if something happens to Eric McCoy here, Lucas Patrick, who basically they're penciled in as their starting left guard, he'd have to move to center, and then you got to get you another center. Now, I think they tried Shane Lemieux there, who I think's got some talent to play guard. Now, he's always sort of hurt. And one thing he couldn't do well, he couldn't snap the ball back to the quarterback well. It was he dribbled a couple of them, and then he almost threw a hook shot over the top of a couple of the quarterback's heads. I think that's an area, if waiver wire free agent, that they have to address, because, man, tackles and guards get hurt in this league a lot, more than any other spot. And the one thing this team doesn't need is something to happen to Eric McCoy. And you got to make two moves instead of one.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And Dennis Allen pretty much said that they're going to address that. Not speaking specifically about the backup center spot, but he said there's certainly going to be roster moves, possibly as soon as the next 24 to 48 hours, but certainly additional moves over the coming days before they get to the opener. And he did address offensive line specifically, because they only have 8 offensive linemen on the 53 right now. And he said, when you factor in what the practice roster winds up looking like, you're going to have probably somewhere around a dozen offensive linemen in the mix. So as that shakes out, you're going to see that backup center position be addressed at some point. And I think there's probably going to be one or more other spots on the offensive line, because that's still the biggest question mark on this team. So there are going to be more changes to come, and I think the offensive line is going to be in the middle of it.
Les, the other thing, too, is at wide receiver, man, I'd bet you Dallas the Donuts, they'd only kept 5. They go with 6 and Bub Means and Tipton. We saw Tipton in the OTAs. He was sort of the darling early on in California, where he was making play after play every day. We were having reports that, you know, he was making a couple of big plays in practice. Bub sort of had the part with the injuries, and he missed a lot of playing time. One thing with Bub, you got to learn how to block downfield. And, man, in this offense, you better be good at it. But they saw enough skill set in him. That's no way that this team goes into the season with 6 wide receivers. I think that's an area where they make it initially, but somebody goes on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the case. I would say that Tipton was probably one of the bigger surprises to me as far as making the 53, even though he did, you know, as you mentioned, have a lot of good moments in practice during training camp. But I think in both of those cases, they didn't want to expose either of those guys to the waiver wire, because they were feared somebody would claim one of them if they did release them, and that they think they both have the opportunity to develop into contributors. So I think that was sort of a risk reward type thing. And they decided they didn't want to risk losing those guys right now because they think that both of them have a chance to pay off down the road. But I agree with you that I never would have projected six wide receivers on the 53.
Les, if I'd have told you the first OTAs we went to, hey, Les, Rico Payton's going to make this 53-man roster. You'd have said, there ain't no way. Because I thought early on he sort of struggled a little bit on maybe play recognition, especially when the ball was thrown over the top with him. I thought he played the ball well when it was thrown in front of him, but over the top he struggled. And he got better and better and better. And we saw in the game, in the preseason games, quarterbacks went after him, and man, he was like, come on, keep throwing it, and I'm going to keep knocking it down. I think of all the guys, that's the biggest surprise on this 53-man roster today is Rico Payton making the team.
Yeah, that was a big surprise, but I would have a slightly different take on it in that you're right. If you had told me that on the first at the first OTA, I would have looked at you like you were crazy. But I think as of today, it wasn't that big a surprise because he had done so much in practice and the preseason games. I think a lot of us thought he had a good chance to make it. He wasn't a lock to make it, but we thought he had a good chance because he had developed so much. And Dennis Allen talked about how, you know, player development, he credited his staff for a lot of this. The way young players have developed during the course of training camp was a big factor in some of these decisions. And speaking of Payton specifically, he mentioned that he played really well on special teams, and that's always a good thing for a young player to do if they're trying to overcome the odds and make the roster.
Okay, Les, has anybody got more stroke on this team other than Dennis Allen than Darren Rizzi? I mean, you think about it. I think if anybody coaching-wise has any stroke about players, it's him.
No question. You know, the Saints are one of those teams in the NFL that put a huge emphasis on special teams. I don't know why all 32 of them don't, because it's routinely proven how important it is. But some teams put a greater emphasis on it than others. The Saints clearly do. You know, Rizzi is the associate head coach. He interviewed for the head coaching job when Dennis Allen got the job. You know, he's a guy they think very highly of, and he and Phil Galliano, his assistant, have a really good track record with the special teams. So when it comes to these final cutdowns, I agree with you that certainly Darren Rizzi is a guy who has Dennis Allen's ear, and they're going to do everything they can to accommodate the special teams. And Allen said today he didn't think there was anybody who made the team exclusively because of their special teams ability, other than specialists, obviously. But that carries a lot of weight when they're putting all the factors together to make these decisions.
Les, Mike and I were talking in the first segment about the wide receiver room, and as we kind of mentioned earlier, we're still not 100% sure if they'll actually carry six wide receivers. I think Bum Means, to Mike at least, was a little bit more surprising than Mason Tipton making it in there. But at linebacker, six guys, and obviously Anfernee Orji had a great preseason. He was kind of expected to make the roster. DeMarco Jackson has been there, done that too. But Jalen Ford, a former draft pick from this past year for the Saints, making it too, despite dealing with a hamstring injury. What's kind of your thoughts on him making the roster?
Yeah, I would say that was probably a little bit of a surprise as well because of the injury. And, you know, Allen said that, you know, he had shown enough prior to being hurt that they felt comfortable giving him a spot, which speaks really well of Ford's contributions before the injury because, you know, he wasn't contributing in the games and had a shorter resume in the preseason than a lot of other people. And linebacker is an interesting spot because, you know, their depth there hasn't been the greatest in recent years. And I think, you know, Anfernee Orji had the really good game against the 49ers a couple of weeks ago, and he's a guy who's improved significantly. And then with Ford making it and six guys now, I think depth on linebacker, which is also an important special teams position, I think was definitely upgraded during the offseason, and we've seen that in the preseason.
Les, running back spot, we know, you know, at this stage, Alvin Kamara's one. To be honest with you, I think I'd put Taysom Hill in the two spot and then Jamal Williams. The situation with Kendra Miller, man, you talk about disappointment. And he's that tie-in with Tajay Spears. Until both those guys retire from the league, they're always going to be compared to one another. I think this team goes outside the fray to look for a running back. Jordan Mims, I think you know what you got. He's a solid player. He catches the ball pretty well coming out the backfield. He's a good pass protector. He runs hard. But I think that they may try to look around to see if they can add to that running back spot in a position they really wanted Kendra Miller to have.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that running back is going to be one of the positions, along with offensive line, that they're going to target when they look at who's been released by other teams. I think you're probably right. Taysom Hill probably is the number one option after Alvin Kamara. And then after that, there's just nobody there who you feel real confident in, whether it's Williams or Mims. And, you know, you can see and hear the frustration from Dennis Allen with Kendra Miller. You know, he's had injury problems in the past. It seems like they're dissatisfied with his work during the offseason in preparing his body for training camp and first individual drill of camp. He gets hurt with the hamstring, and as Allen said, I haven't seen him since. So that is something I think is clearly frustrating to them, because he was going to be a big part of their plans this year, and now he's gone for at least the first four games. And, I think running back is definitely a spot where they're hoping to find somebody on the waiver wire that they can bring in and bolster the depth.
Les, I'll ask you about the tight end spot. I think we know what Foster Morrow can do. He's a really good inline blocker. Every once in a while, you can hit him over the middle for a throw. This, to me, is a huge year for Juwan Johnson, because there's so much expectations about him, and he flashes it every once in a while. Then he gets hurt. Okay, preseason is preseason, but this is offense is sort of made for him. To catch that 47 to 52 passes a year in this offense, the way it's set up, that's an area where you're just okay. That's not a strength of this football team. Dallin Hoker has come in, made the team as an undrafted free agent, and he catches the ball well. Now, again, he's not going to give you a lot of – he tries as an inline blocker, but that's not his strength. Your thoughts on the tight end position, understanding the offenses that Kubiak has run in the past, and he's had, you know, a T.J. Hawkinson, and he's had Kittle out in San Francisco. Man, that's a spot where if you can keep your quarterback upright, and that's a big if, tight end to me would be a spot where that guy's going to put up some decent numbers. I'm just not sure about that.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, tight ends have an opportunity to be really important in this passing game, in this system that Kubiak has installed. And Juwan Johnson's really the only guy who has a chance to take advantage of that this year. Maybe Hocker will develop into somebody who can do that. But, you know, Juwan Johnson, if he's healthy and continues to improve, could be the guy who thrives in this offense and elevates that group as a whole. But if he doesn't, if he gets hurt again and isn't a major factor week in and week out, then that position becomes a bit of a liability, because I think he's the only guy capable of taking advantage the way that this coaching staff would like to see the tight end position perform in this offense.
Les, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time, bud, and best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Les East, who long time has covered the New Orleans Saints, college football, the prep scene for Crescent City Sports. And I think we agree on a lot of things, Les and I, on a lot of things, on the way the rosters shape up. And, he agrees with us. Bobby's talked about it, Deuce, myself, you also, Charlie, that it's not set in stone, this roster, and you better do it with an eraser.
The word that keeps coming up
pencil
is
with
fluid.
An eraser.
Fluid, Mike. It is a very fluid roster. We'll see what they decide to do. But as Les mentioned, adding offensive line and running back obviously makes the most sense.
And you never know about what you don't know.
Yeah,
Tight end is another spot. I'm just thinking.
It's not, as you mentioned, Mike.
It's not a strength on this team.
I would go as far as saying it's one of the weaknesses on this team.
Charlie, I'd agree with you. Because there's a lot of I don't knows.
I mean, you hope that Juwan Johnson can make a major leap and be a tight end one. You kind of hope that Foster Moreau can be a steady hand. You hope that Dallin Hooker.
Because I know he can block.
Yes.
I know he's a good pass protector, good inline blocker. Hooker, he flashed it, and then he gets hurt.
One of the four undrafted free agents.
Yeah. We'll be back with our triple option feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long, joined by Steve Geller. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, I know it's cut day, but I want to talk money, 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 money. Dallas Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb came to terms a four-year deal, $136 million, including $100 million of it guaranteed on Monday. But guys, who's next? I know Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals, and then there's San Francisco's Brandon Ayuk still awaiting deals. Lamb's contract just shy of what the Vikings' Justin Jefferson earned earlier this season, 4 years, $140 million, including $110 million guaranteed. I want to point out, too, Rod Walker mentioned this on Twitter. The two highest paid receivers now in the NFL, guys, both born in Louisiana. I know CeeDee's a Texas guy, but he's still born in Louisiana.
Yes, he was.
And when Ja'Marr Chase signs
his deal,
I was going to say that could be the three highest paid receivers all from Louisiana. Boom.
Man. We got some receivers here in this state, Charlie.
Guys, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns for this one. With the 53-man roster set around the NFL, a couple things to note here with the Browns. They're carrying four quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, right
and that
now.
That is a surprising number for amount of quarterbacks. Now, they've apparently guaranteed Dorian Thompson-Robinson's spot on the roster, and so it's a determination of who's going to be behind him, potentially, with Deshaun Watson obviously being the starter. Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston are on the initial 53-man roster, but I've seen reports that they could potentially trade one of them. So we'll see what has to happen there. Well, you see trades happening around
for round pick
a sixth or seventh round pick. I mean, that's basically what you're seeing as far as teams throwing out basically the back end day three picks for, you know, different players that they want to add to their roster. So our old friend Jameis Winston, former Saint, is apparently on the Cleveland Browns 53-man roster, but he may not be for very long. Another thing that I wanted to note as well, Deontay Foreman, we talked with James about this earlier, is a running back that was cut from the 53-man roster for the Cleveland Browns. A guy that we're familiar with because he spent time with the Carolina Panthers back in 2022. He also spent time with the Bears in 2023. He's had a pretty decent career, and as far as a bunch of Browns fans and the responses, they're not very happy that he was cut from the team, guys.
No, listen, one thing with Deontay, once I think he figured out, man, I can't play at 275 pounds at running back.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
At Texas, man, he was huge. Man, he was one of the biggest backs I've ever seen other than Ironhead. And so, man, you think about it, got himself in shape. A lot of people in Cleveland were really surprised that Deontay got cut.
He was a beast with Carolina back in 2022, guys, with 203 rushing attempts, 914 yards, and 17 games played with the Panthers. I remember him having a very good year. Now, he goes to Chicago in 2023, and that was kind of a crowded backfield. Let's be honest with ourselves. They had Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. They had a bunch of names back there. So it was a little bit tougher for him to break through. He goes to the Browns, and he doesn't even make their initial 53-man roster. If you're talking about running backs that are on the waiver wire, interesting running backs, I think Deontay Foreman's pretty fast.
He's a big power back, north-south. He's not going to give you a lot of wiggle, but you know what he gives you. Man, but he's difficult to bring down. Even when he's light, you know, he's still a big man because he's in that – his second number is definitely a four, and I think sometimes that five is the second number for him. I've talked about this for over a month now, and just looking at how quietly the Tampa Bay Bucs have rebuilt that roster. And on their 53-man squad, as of today, every one of their 2024 draft choices made it. In fact, 22 of the 23 players they've drafted over the past 3 years are on the team. And 26 of the 30 draft choices they've made over the last four have made it. There's only two starters on the Bucs team that were not draft choices. And that's Baker Mayfield and Ben Brenderson, who sort of bounced around a little bit. He was with the Giants, Ravens, and then now with Tampa Bay. Man, you talk about a young roster. Every draft choice and 22 of the 23 players they've drafted over the past 3 years, Man, you talk about you hit pay dirt there. And that has been a quiet roster changeover. Because remember, that was one of the older rosters when they had Brady and they brought in Gronk and they had Leonard Fournette. And they had a lot of older guys on that team. I'll tell you one thing, if they didn't have Lavonte David, they really have the youngest roster in the NFL. When you look at how they've been able to pick and quietly rebuild that roster, I still think, man, they're going to give the Falcons everything they want for the NFC South title. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk on the Big 870, want to thank Les East from Crescent City Sports, breaking down the cuts and possible moves the Saints will make. Steve-O, when we look at it, I still think 4 to 5 moves to be made by next Tuesday. And Bob brought it up, man, and I've been involved with it too with agents. They'll tell me, oh, man, I got a first-year guy. He so thoroughly made the team. 2 days later,
not so fast, right?
We sort of rethought this, and, you know, we're going to have to waive you, and we're bringing in a veteran instead. And so I think the 4 to 5 number, I think, is correct.
You're looking at offensive lineman and running back for sure, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe tight end.
And maybe tight end.
Maybe receiver, if there's a receiver they really like too.
Yeah, I mean, you parted ways with a guy like Equanimeous St. Brown. I thought he was going to be end up being safe on the roster after his final performance. But I'm sure if they want to bring him back and put him on the practice squad kind of deal, that still could be the case with a bunch of these guys. Like, I don't think anyone's going to scoop up someone like Jacob Cabote either from ULL. I think he'll be a practice squad guy for the Saints too.
Okay, and we saw even the veteran last year. Jonathan Abram didn't make the original.
Right.
He got put on practice squad, and they, I think, ran out of designations for him. They kept sending him down, picking back up, back, and it was sort of a back-and-forth thing. And I look at it, Ugo Amadi and Jonathan again.
Yeah.
In the same sort of spot that we saw a year ago. And you know what? You might say, lightning don't strike twice in the same spot. No, for this, I bet that's exactly what they do.
Outside of quarterbacks, I think safety is the one that we talked the least about, Mike. They're carrying 4 currently. Obviously, that can change. Tyrann Mathieu, Jordan Howden, Will Harris, and obviously JT Gray, the special teams ace. So, 4 safeties.
And if I see JT Gray back there, I hate to say it. Well, if I'm an opposing quarterback, I'm throwing the ball at him.
And, you know, Les said that DA talked about that nobody made the roster just based off special teams.
I would bet.
That's a little bit of politics.
Yeah, because I think JT Gray did. Man, JT Gray is an upper-level, elite special teams guy.
One thing, too, guys, do you think they end up lurking on the open market now for another punter? Do you think they stick with Hayball?
Man, I think they – I wouldn't be surprised if they look around. And the one thing with Darren Rizzi, he's going to try to make this unit the best he can.
For sure, right.
And there was a couple punters that did pretty well in camps that didn't quite make it.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me. Hayball's got talent. Now, can he be a good directional kicker? Can he get it 45 yards and not out punt his coverage? Fixing to find out. And how coachable is that? On special teams.
Right.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Back here on sports talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, joined by Steve Geller. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, I know it's cut day, but I want to talk money, 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 money. Dallas Cowboys receiver CeeDee Lamb came to terms, a 4-year deal, $136 million, including $100 of it guaranteed on Monday. But guys, who's next? I know Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals, and then there's San Francisco's Brandon Ayuk still awaiting deals. Lamb's contract just shy of what the Vikings' Justin Jefferson earned earlier this season, 4 years, $140 million, including $110 million guaranteed. I want to point out, too, Rod Walker mentioned this on Twitter. The two highest-paid receivers now in the NFL, guys, both born in Louisiana. I know CeeDee's a Texas guy, but he was still born in Louisiana.
Yes, he was.
And when Ja'Marr Chase signs deal, I was going to say that could be the three highest paid receivers all from Louisiana. Boom.
Man. We got some receivers here in this state, Charlie.
Guys, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns for this one. With the 53-man roster set around the NFL, a couple things to note here with the Browns. They're carrying four quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, right.
And that is a surprising number for an amount of quarterbacks. Now, they've apparently guaranteed Dorian Thompson-Robinson's spot on the roster. And so it's a determination of who's going to be behind him, potentially, with Deshaun Watson obviously being the starter. Tyler Huntley and Jameis Winston are on the initial 53-man roster, but I've seen reports that they could potentially trade one of them. So we'll see what has to happen there. Well, you see trades happening around for a sixth or seventh round pick. I mean, that's basically what you're seeing as far as teams throwing out basically the back end day three picks for, you know, different players that they want to add to their roster. So our old friend Jameis Winston, former Saint, is apparently on the Cleveland Browns 53-man roster, but he may not be for very long. Another thing that I wanted to note as well, Deontay Foreman, we talked with James about this earlier, is a running back that was cut from the 53-man roster for the Cleveland Browns. A guy that we're familiar with because he spent time with the Carolina Panthers back in 2022. He also spent time with the Bears in 2023. He's had a pretty decent career, and as far as a bunch of Browns fans and the responses, they're not very happy that he was cut from the team, guys.
No, listen, one thing with Deontay, once I think he figured out, man, I can't play at 275 pounds at running back.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
At Texas, man, he was huge. Man, he was one of the biggest backs I've ever seen other than Ironhead. And so, man, you think about it, got himself in shape. A lot of people in Cleveland were really surprised that Deontay got cut.
He was a beast with Carolina back in 2022, guys, with 203 rushing attempts, 914 yards, and 17 games played with the Panthers. I remember him having a very good year. Now, he goes to Chicago in 2023, and that was kind of a crowded backfield. Let's be honest with ourselves. They had Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. They had a bunch of names back there. So it was a little bit tougher for him to break through. He goes to the Browns, and he doesn't even make their initial 53-man roster. If you're talking about running backs that are on the waiver wire, interesting running backs, I think Deontay Foreman's pretty fascinating.
He's a big power back, north-south. He's not going to give you a lot of wiggle, but you know what he gives you. Man, but he's difficult to bring down. Even when he's light, you know, he's still a big man because he's in that – his second number is definitely a four, and I think sometimes that five is the second number for him. I've talked about this for over a month now, and just looking at how quietly the Tampa Bay Bucs have rebuilt that roster. And on their 53-man squad, as of today, every one of their 2024 draft choices made it. In fact, 22 of the 23 players they've drafted over the past 3 years are on the team. And 26 of the 30 draft choices they've made over the last four have made it. There's only two starters on the Bucs team that were not draft choices. And that's Baker Mayfield and Ben Brenderson, who sort of bounced around a little bit. He was with the Giants, Ravens, and then now with Tampa Bay. Man, you talk about a young roster. Every draft choice and 22 of the 23 players they've drafted over the past 3 years. Man, you talk about you hit pay dirt there. And that has been a quiet roster changeover. Because remember, that was one of the older rosters when they had Brady and they brought in Gronk and they had Leonard Fournette. And they had a lot of older guys on that team. I'll tell you one thing, if they didn't have Lavonte David, they really have the youngest roster in the NFL. When you look at how they've been able to pick and quietly rebuild that roster, I still think, man, they're going to give the Falcons everything they want for the NFC South title. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk on the Big 870, want to thank Les East from Crescent City Sports breaking down the cuts and possible moves the Saints will make. Steve, when we look at it, I still think 4 to 5 moves to be made by next Tuesday. And Bob brought it up, man, and I've been involved with it too with agents. They'll tell me, oh, man, I got a first-year guy. He so thoroughly made the team. 2 days later,
not so fast, right?
We sort of rethought this, and, you know, we're going to have to waive you, and we're bringing in a veteran instead. And so I think the 4 to 5 number, I think, is correct.
You're looking at offensive lineman and running back for sure, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe tight end.
And maybe tight end.
Maybe receiver, if there's a receiver they really like too.
Yeah, I mean, you parted ways with a guy like Equanimee St. Brown. I thought he was going to be end up being safe on the roster after his final performance, but I'm sure if they want to bring him back and put him on the practice squad kind of deal, that still could be the case with a bunch of these guys. Like, I don't think anyone's going to scoop up someone like Jacob Cabote either from ULL. I think he'll be a practice squad guy for the Saints too.
Okay, and we saw even the veteran last year, Jonathan Abram, didn't make the original.
Right.
He got put on practice squad, and they, I think, ran out of designations for him. They kept sending him down, picking back up, back, and it was sort of a back-and-forth thing. And I look at it, Ugo Amadi and Jonathan again.
Yeah.
In the same sort of spot that we saw a year ago. And you know what? You might say, lightning don't strike twice in the same spot. No, for this, I bet that's exactly what they do.
Outside of quarterbacks, I think safety is the one that we talked the least about, Mike. They're carrying four currently. Obviously, that can change. Tyrann Mathieu, Jordan Howden, Will Harris, and obviously JT Gray, the special teams ace. So, four safeties.
And if I see JT Gray back there, I hate to say it. Well, if I'm an opposing quarterback, I'm throwing the ball at him.
And, you know, Les said that DA talked about that nobody made the roster just based off special teams.
I would bet.
That's a little bit of politics.
Yeah, because I think JT Gray did. Man, JT Gray is an upper-level, elite special teams guy.
One thing, too, guys, do you think they end up lurking on the open market now for another punter? Do you think they stick with Hayball?
Man, I wouldn't be surprised if they look around. And the one thing with Darren Rizzi, he's going to try to make this unit the best he can.
For sure, right.
And there was a couple punters that did pretty well in camps that didn't quite make it.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me. Hayball's got talent. Now, can he be a good directional kicker? Can he get it 45 yards and not out punt his coverage? Fixing to find out. And how coachable is that? On special teams.
Right.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.